We got a video that we want to start off the service with today.
This year will be different.
This year will be different.
This year will be different.
This year, I need to eat less. You know what? I do solemnly swear that this year I will lose 10 pounds. Or at least 5.
5 is the magic number. That's how many times I want to visit my grandmother this year, which would be 5 more than last year.
Learn to wait. I always want things instantly. I need patience. Now! This year, I'll
be nicer to my parents. What, Mom? Get off my back.
I just need peace in my life. I'm just so nervous all the time. I'm twitching. 3 kids. I'm a twitcher. I'm twitching. I twitch. I just can't seem to get
my pits to stop sweating. Can you see this? Look, when did I become the human leak? I mean, I know I've got some stress about my future and everything, but why can't I just be like everyone else and you conceal it? Okay, I'll just have to fake it till I make it. And I'll
be better than I've ever been in my entire life.
If I'm going to make this year count, I have to do some things differently. It's toupee time.
Make some goals this year. Just 3, not 10.
Stop judging people who aren't like me.
Stop snapping at my kids.
Dream!
Character over image.
Learn that I'm loved, but not entitled.
God, if you forget about me, I'm here. Just show me what to do.
Give me the strength to change. What am I saying? I don't even know if I want to change, God. I'm comfortable. I have a good life. I know. You want the best for me. So why don't I want the best for me?
Starting tomorrow, using my gifts and talents, I'm going to live my life differently. God's way.
I'm tired of keeping this great gift.
A secret. Can I tell you a secret? I feel like I'm separated from something. That sounds weird, doesn't it? But whatever I need, it's bigger than this world can
offer. I offer my life, God. That's something much more than what I can see. So please, God, would you just take this little bit of faith that I have?
I just can't wait another year.
If it is to be, it's up to me. Well, this is the 7th week of this series. We got one more after today. But basically what we've been talking about is changing our lives by changing our thoughts. Romans 12 says to be not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, changing the way that we think. Our thoughts many times define our actions. In fact, our thoughts become our words, our words become our actions, and our actions become our destiny. So if we don't like where we're at, or even if we do like where we're at, does it mean that we don't need to quit changing? Until we become the very best that we can be of us. We don't copy other people. We want to be the best. I want to be the best me I can be. You need to be the best you that you can be. And we've talked about several dimensions. We've talked about the spiritual, mental, emotional, physical. We've talked about relational. And today we're going to talk about the financial. The financial. Money. And sometimes people don't like it when you talk about money. But this may be a little bit different than what we normally talk about. Jesus taught more about money than he did heaven and hell. Over one half of all of Jesus' parables had to do with material possessions. And one out of six verses in the first three Gospels are about money. Is money important? Yes. In fact, money is something we can't live without. Money has tremendous power and influence in our lives. And you know what? If you don't manage money, money will manage you. You either have your money working for you, or you work for money. It's a perspective. It's a way of thinking. And if we're not careful, we get into this mindset that we're serving money rather than money serving us, rather than money working for us. It kind of works against us, and we don't want that. There's a story in Luke chapter 16, and we're going to read it. This is from the New Living Version. Jesus said to his followers, there was a rich man who put a boss over his house and lands. Someone told him that his boss was not using his riches in a right way. The rich man sent for the boss and said, what is this that I hear about you? Tell me what you have done with my things. You are not the boss of my house and lands anymore. The boss said to him, what will I do? The owner of the house and lands is taking my work away from me. I cannot dig in the ground for a living. I'm too proud to ask for help. I know what I'll do. I'll make it so that when I lose this work, I'll be able to go to the homes of my friends. He sent for the people who owed the rich man. He asked the first one, how much do you owe the owner? The first man said, 100 barrels of oil. The boss said to him, take your bill, sit down at once, and change it to 50. He asked another one, how much do you owe? And he said, 100 bags of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and change it to 80. Then the rich man said, this, his sinful boss, had been wise to plan for himself for the days ahead. For the people of the world are wiser in their day than the children of light. Now, what this guy did was not totally honest, okay? But the rich man saw what he did, and he kind of commended him for his taking care of himself. So he's not condoning this kind of Jesus is not condoning this kind of behavior, but there's some principles here. So I want us to look at several things about our attitude towards money. And I'm going to give you several things here. And let's start with number one. Here's what we don't do with money. Number one, we don't waste it. We don't waste it. I wonder if we sat down and wrote out our spending and analyzed it and put it into categories, how much money do we just waste? It's easy to do. In fact, you know, this whole series is about managing life, managing your spiritual life, managing your body, managing your mind, what goes into your mind, managing your emotions, managing your relationships. Well, one of the biggest things in our life is money. So should we manage money? Should we have a plan for spending money? And the answer to that is yes. We should have a budget. A budget that tells our money where to go. If you don't have a budget that tells your money where to go, your money will get away from you. And I know this, you say, oh, budgets, I hate budgets. You know, if people say, well, I hate to eat that way. I hate exercise. I hate drinking water. All of the things that are good for us, we seem to hate. All of the things that will produce good things in us, we have the tendency to hate because it requires something of our effort, a discipline to do certain things. And I want to tell you, if you'll get to where you won't waste money, you'll be amazed at how quick you can get out of debt. In fact, we ought to strive to be debt free. Everybody say debt free. We should strive to be debt free. Because what happens when you're in debt? You're enslaved to that owner. I owe, it's off to work I go. Wouldn't it be nice for a change to go to work knowing that your money was not already spent? Are you out there today? I was looking at something the other day, and the average American credit card debt is about $15,000. $15,000. The average mortgage is about $173,000. And it goes on and on and on about automobile debt is about $400 and something a month average per automobile. So what happens is that you find yourself in this grind that you're trying to keep up. And on top of that, if we waste money, guess what? Guess what happens? We find ourselves in a financial bind. So we don't need to waste money. The second thing is we don't need to love it or to live for it. We don't need to love money or live for it. The Bible says no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Have you ever worked in an office where you had more than one boss? And they do conflicting things. They'll tell you conflicting things and they'll work against each other. This is what happens when we try to serve God and money. We can't afford to do that. We can't live for money. We can't love money. See, it's impossible to live with divided allegiance. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. A divided heart. A divided heart. See, I must choose what I love most in my life. Do I love people? Then I can use money. See, the choice between God and money, it's easy for money to become a god. In fact, we spend a lot of our time serving that god. We're trying to obtain. Listen, we have to make a living, don't we? We have to provide for our needs. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about coming into a place where you're enslaved to this whole thing of debt and making money and all of that kind of thing. Okay, here's the third thing. Don't trust money for security. Don't trust money for security. What happens when we do that? See, Proverbs 3:23-5 says, your money can be gone in a flash as if it had grown wings and flown away like an eagle. It's amazing that people live from paycheck to paycheck to paycheck to paycheck. They don't have a plan. They live from paycheck to paycheck to paycheck. What if the refrigerator goes out? What if the heat and air unit goes out? It can wipe out everything that you have. See, money is fleeting, but God's not. Did y'all go home? Okay, Lord, is this going to be one of those days? Number four, don't expect money to satisfy you. I would be happy if I had more money. No, what you would want is if you had more money, you know what you would want? More money. And if you had more money, you'd want what? More money. If I could just win the lottery, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? I got a friend that I drink coffee with. There's five of them that goes together and buys these tickets. It's like $100, and they do it every month or so, and they're always checking. How many Powerballs did we get? And what it's up to, I think it's up to 300 million right now. And what would we do? Oh, if we won that. And we think somehow that money is going to satisfy us, or the things that money will buy will satisfy us. It'll make us happy. But you know, the obtaining of stuff usually means you got to have more stuff. You get this deer rifle, and boy, I love this little deer rifle, my little 30-30, and then I hear about a 30-06. Now, yeah, I got to have me a 30-06 now. Then I hear about the 7mm mag. Oh, 30-06 are no good. We always got to have the latest, most powerful thing that's out there. And we're trying to be happy. What we need to learn is the life of contentment where we are. We need to learn to be content where we are. I believe that God wants to bless us. I believe that God wants to bless us with stuff. I believe that with all my heart. But he doesn't want stuff to be the thing that makes us happy. God should make us happy. God should make us. And we can live in contentment and still grow financially. We can grow in other ways. But money will not satisfy. Luke 12:15 says, guard against all kinds of greed, because your life is not measured by how much you own. It's amazing that many people's self-worth is tied up in what they have, their possessions, their house, the kind of car they drive, all of those kind of things. Those things will not make you happy. They'll not make you happy. So we don't need to conform to the world's way of thinking. The American dream. We've heard about the American dream. We got to keep up with the Smiths and the Joneses, and we got to have, they get a car, we got to get a better car. And we're always doing this whole thing, and we got to always get better, always got to get better. And first thing you know, we are supernaturally in debt. $15,000 credit cards, $1,200 a month for your vehicle payments, $2,000 a month for your mortgage. And first thing you know, you're eating mac and cheese every trying to survive. And you become a slave to the lender. That's not how we need to live. That's not how we need to live our lives. So we don't need to conform. So let's talk about five counterculture truths about money. Number one, and we're not going to like this one, but it is so freeing. It all belongs to God. This is what we've been talking about this whole series, that everything that we are and everything that we have, we are stewards. We are managers. We're not owners. I don't own my body. I don't own my mind. I just can't. If I manage it correctly, I can't allow everything just to go in my mind. I can't feed on certain things. My emotional life. I can't allow my emotions to control me. I'm supposed to be relational. I need to manage relationships and build relationships with people so that I can be influential. We all need to be that. We have to manage that. And the same thing is true when it comes to money. It belongs to God. I get to use it. See, there's three things that you can do with money, and we need to do all three things. Number one is spend. Number two is save. And number three is give. That is a balanced use of money. The Bible tells us that we should give 10% to God. We call that the tithe. Okay, the tithe is not what we decide that it is. Tithe means tenth. So a tenth should go to God. Let me make a suggestion. You should pay yourself 10%. You should put 10% of your income into a savings for rainy days, for your future. It's amazing how many people retire and they're depending only on Social Security to survive. That's scary. And I think it's the overwhelming majority when they retire. The only thing that they'll have is Social Security. What if Social Security goes away? It probably won't in my lifetime, but in my children's lifetime, there's a great possibility that Social Security will go away. And how many people are going to be out there with nothing? Nothing. They'll have to work till they die. Do you want to work till you die? So maybe we need to learn to manage what's been given to us. You spend most of it, okay? Give 10% to God and put 10% back for your future. Put 10% back for your future. Therefore, if an emergency happens, if you've got a savings, it won't wipe it all out. It won't wipe it all out. You know what? If you put 10% of your income back for 10 years, you'd have a year's worth of salary in savings. Wouldn't that be wonderful? This means yes. This means no. I'd rather spend it all now. In fact, I spend more than I make. Then are you being a good steward? Are you like this guy in this parable that was using his master's money and using it wrongly? And God expects us to be accountable in the way that we use what belongs to Him. Listen, if we'll start looking at everything this way, worry will decrease. When God becomes the source and not the money, how many of you know God can provide outside your income? He can. And we've probably all got testimonies how that unexpectedly certain things happened in our lives that money came to us, or maybe your washing machine lasts for 30 years instead of breaking down every 4 years and you having to buy a new one every 4 years. So God can bless our stewardship. And I believe that He will. I believe that He will. The second truth to remember is every day God is using money to prove me. See, God does not trust spiritual power to just anyone. He tests our faithfulness first. And He does this continually. You know, and I believe that God's favorite tool for proving us or testing in not in a negative way, not in a sinful way, but testing us. And God knows, and what does a test do? It shows us where we're at. It doesn't show God anything. God already knows, but sometimes things have to be proved to us so that we can see that we have this need to change. That's what tests show us. If you make 50 on a test, guess what you need to do? You need to study harder. Study smarter. So God uses this test. And I believe that God promotes those who are faithful. What does it test? Number one, it tests what I love. What I love. It says in Matthew 6:19, don't store up treasures here on earth. Instead, store up your treasures in heaven. For wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. Now, that didn't say don't save any money. That's not what that's saying. Don't let that be where your treasure's at. Your treasure is in heaven. We need to spend, save, and give with that in our mind. See, the balance of money is giving, saving, spending. In a lot of people's lives, it's spending. Spend all we can now. And I know sometimes, you know, if you don't make a lot of money, it's difficult. Here's the second thing that it shows. It shows what I trust. It shows what I love most. Then it shows what I trust. What do I trust? If you trust in your money, you will fall. But if you trust in God, you'll flourish like a green tree. Proverbs 11:28. Our trust doesn't need to be in what we have. Our trust needs to be in our provider who freely gives us all things to enjoy. That ought to be a good amen. Thank you, Lord. Number three, money is a tool to be used for God's purposes. Luke 16:9 says, I tell you, use your worldly wealth. Use your worldly wealth. See, we can use temporary resources for permanent good. We can use temporary, money's temporary. We can use temporary resources that will produce an eternal good. There's lots of ways that we can do that. We can be a blessing to humanity. You know, here's one good thing about tithing. Here's a good thing about tithing. When you give to our church or whatever church, and I'm not against giving outside the church. I believe the tithe belongs in the church and offerings goes where God directs you. There are so many things that you're giving to. There are so many ministries and outreaches that you're giving to. You're not just giving to the church. We turn around and disperse. We have money that's working in other countries. We have money that's working in Honduras. We have a lot of money that's working in our town in the different ministries that we support in our town. Help and Hope, the Ministerial's Benevolence Fund, and I can't name them all. I mean, Alpha Pregnancy Center. There's all kinds of the Battered Women's Shelter. We support all of those things. You know how we do that? Through the tithes and offerings that people give. So when you give, you're not only just giving into this organization, it's turned around and being dispersed out through a lot of sources that is a blessing to our community and to our world. And that's a powerful thing about taking a temporary resource for permanent good. There are lives that are being changed. Years ago, I think we did it 2 years, that we hooked up with the Wells. Never Thirst. And we drilled in 2 years, we drilled 19 wells throughout the world. A lot in India, one in the Sudan. And when I went to India, I got to go to this village that had one of these wells. It wasn't one of our wells, but it was a like well. And it's amazing what clean water will do in a community where there's no clean water. Not only from a health-wise, but usually a church is in charge of that well. That's Never Thirst. That's how they operate. They find a church. They train that church. They drill a well. They put that church in charge of maintenance and distribution. And they use that clean water to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's ongoing. We have 19 of those throughout the world. And that's an ongoing thing. And we raise about $20,000 in order to do that. And every day for all of these years, that clean water is opening doors for the gospel. It's building churches. You help do that through your giving. You help do that through your giving. So we've got to have that kind of mindset. Four, the best use is to get used to getting people to heaven. That's the best thing we can do with our money, is to use it to get people to heaven. And that's exactly what I was talking about with Never Thirst. Use our money for ourselves, to spend, to meet our needs. Number two, to save for the future. Number three is to give so that other people can go to heaven. I don't know, as Jason said a while ago, and I know we talk about Celebrate Recovery a lot. That's one of our big outreaches. We are known throughout this community as the Recovery Church. That's a two-edged sword. Because they think that all we have here is alcoholics and drug addicts. That's very few. I mean, maybe 30% of people in CR come to our church. In fact, a lot of them figure that Friday night is their church, and that's okay for right now. Hopefully they'll move into a church somewhere at some point in their life. But we've never taken an offering. And there's no telling how many people have been born again through Celebrate Recovery. That's using money, temporary thing, in order to get people to heaven. We buy pizza. We cook meals over there. There's all kinds of meals that we cook and all kinds of things that we do. We had almost 200 people here Friday night. Our average here on Friday nights has been around 200 people. And most of those people, they don't give anything. We don't ask them to. Hopefully, as they flow into the church, then they can help support that over there. But if we can wisely use our money to get people to heaven. So, and here's the last thing. Here's the last thing that I need to realize about money. One day, and this is not only about money. This is spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, relationally, and financially. One day, I'll give an account to God. You'll stand before God for a life audit. I'm talking about as believers. This is not heaven and hell. But this is a life audit. God wants to know, how well did you do with what I put in your care? Luke 16:2 says, you must give now. Give me an account of your stewardship and report what you've done with what. This is what the rich man said to the dishonest servant. But Romans 14:12 says, yes, each of us will have to give a personal account to God. How well did you manage? How well did you spend? Did you waste the resources that I put in? Did you save? Did you give? And these are the things that we'll give an account for, because these are the things. God is looking for faithfulness in every area of our lives. He wants us to be faithful to Him in our relationship. He wants us to be faithful managing our physical bodies. He wants us to be faithful with our minds and our emotions and our managing our relationships. He wants us to be faithful with finances also. See, what we're talking about this last 7 weeks is a radical personal makeover. If we really want to be different, if we really want to be growing, then this is what we're looking for, is radical change in our life. You won't do it overnight, but you'll do it day by day, day by day. Listen, when you decide to get healthy, and that's been my big battle for the last year, is with my physical body. You know, when you take your blood pressure and it's 160 over 120, which is high, you got to do something or die. I was headed towards a stroke. I had to do something. And I know that when my weight is up, my blood pressure's up. When my weight is down, I took my blood pressure last night and it was 115 over 51. Not bad. My resting heart rate is in the 40s. I didn't get there overnight. How do you do that? One step at a time. One day at a time, one step at a time. How do you walk 3 miles a day? You take step, 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 step. You eat right. You're not going to have a radical makeover overnight. But you can put into place things that you can, goals that you can manage, and you can look back on daily, and you can evaluate daily, where am I at with my goal? And you know what? I'm doing good with some goals, and some of them I struggle a little bit in. I'll be honest, I'm struggling with some of my goals. So as I look at those things, okay, I gotta, and these are minor goals that I'm struggling with, not major goals. But I've got to look at it. I've got to determine what I'm going to do to be different. Because if it is to be, it's up to me. Let's stand. Can we worship today? I know this is not one of those shouting messages. In fact, this series is not a shouting series. But it is a challenging series in the mode that it makes us look at ourselves and determine what we need to do different. Let's worship together.